All right. I need three people. That's what I need. Let everybody jump up at once. Just three people. To start. Okay, I need one over there. One over there. And one in the center. Hallelujah. So, before I start, my workshop, as you know, is on everything through Christ gives strength. So we're going to start by this, taking you out of the norm is how we're going to start. This is your past. This is your present. And this is your future. Okay? Your past, you can't fix. It's gone. Can't go back and regurgitate it because you're not a cow, so you're not going to regurgitate it back up. This is not promised. The Bible says tomorrow is not promised to anyone. So we have to stop living in the past, stop hoping for the future, and start living in the now. Because every day, he says, my mercies are new every morning. So every morning, you get to go on a new page. But we, as people, have a way of living in our past. And we let people make us live in our past. We let people hold us in the box. But that is today, wipe it clean. It's no more for you. You cannot live in the past. Now, not to say that everything in the past that God put in your life was not a stepping stone to bring you to the present. So we don't forget those things. But everything else that God, like Nancy was saying this morning, you have a clean slate. The only one that remembers that is you. You let people make you remember it. God doesn't remember it anymore. Once you put it in his hands and ask for forgiveness, he considers you clean, a new slate. And then in the future, you will say, tomorrow, I'm going to change. Tomorrow, I'm going to do better. Tomorrow, I'm going to stop doing this. Tomorrow, I'm going to stop doing that. New Year's, you know, everybody been tricked into that New Year resolution thing. My New Year's resolution is I'm going to do blah, 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 and you fail miserably because you never kind of obtained to it. So we're not going to start focusing on what we're going to do in the sweet by and by. We are going to focus on the now. And Debbie's representing the now. She's representing the mercies are new every morning. Every morning you get up, you have another opportunity to say, God, here am I. Use me. Make this new. Take everything that you have in my life to make me to this point. Let me use all that is good. Let me use it. Anything I don't understand, let me put it on the shelf until you pull it down into my life for me to use. But let me not focus on what I'm going to do 10 years from now. Let me focus on the now and take every day one step at a time. You see that picture? I wanted to make a picture for you because I'm starting to learn that's why Jesus did what he did in parables. Because the people not only needed to hear it, but they also needed to see it so that they could get a visible picture in their mind on what he wanted them to do. That's why he moved in parables all the time. And so we've gotten away from that sometime, of moving in parables. And we think we have it, but we don't. We're finding out, I need a visible picture, God, of what you want me to do. He says, okay, stop living in the past. Stop hoping for the future and live in the now. And let me bring something new to your life every day to strengthen you. Thank you, ladies. Okay, that's how I wanted to start. Because his mercies are new how many times? Every morning. Every morning his mercies are new. So yesterday, after we got done with worship, I stepped down off the stage and something happened to my hip. I don't know. It's like, you know, have you ever felt like if you could just pop it, it would feel better, but you couldn't pop it? And so I was sitting there and I went to stand up and I looked at my husband and I said, I can't move my leg. I said, it's whatever it is, it's like I stepped wrong or, you know, it only takes, my doctor told me once, Liz's husband told me once, it only takes a slight movement the wrong way for something to misfunction. And so I got down there, but this morning I got up. Well, I got home last night, Liz, we got home and I was laying in the bed, slept very well, got up this morning. Felt better. It just feels sore because of what was going on, but feel better. And I was sitting in the living room in Cheryl's house looking out the window. And all of a sudden, I remembered a prayer that Nancy prayed at the beginning of this conference. And she said, pray for the worship team because they're the front lines. And I was thinking about Cara woke up this morning. She's my bass player. And her stomach has been upset all morning. Has no reason to be upset, except God is getting ready to do something great, and we're being hit. And all of a sudden, I looked out the window, and I said, why do you like to hit me? And I, you know, it was like a righteous anger talking to the atmosphere. If somebody would have walked in the room that wasn't a Christian, they probably would have thought I was crazy because nobody was there but me. But I was like, why do you like to hit me? Because don't you know? What doesn't kill me makes me stronger. It makes me stronger. I'm going to be just like David and say, I'm going to be worse tomorrow. I'm going to be whatever you thought I was today. Oh, you just wait till tomorrow. I said, I'll do it if I have to sit on the stool because it doesn't hinder me from worshiping. Because you can't take my ministry. You can't take my voice. So everything we do through Christ strengthens us. So I want to start off by singing you this song. When I was at home, I started thinking about this word, and all of a sudden this old song came back to my mind, and I'm sure any of you that's been a Christian for a long time, and our music, you probably know it. But anyway, it says, what more can I say, Lord? What more can I say to unveil your face, Lord, to bring forth a new day? That last final word, Lord, shall come forth from you, shall open the gates, Lord, and we shall go through. What more can I say, Lord? What more can I say? To unveil your face, Lord, to bring forth a new day. That last final word, Lord, that comes forth from you, shall open the veil, Lord, and we shall go through. Well, Jesus tore the veil for us. He tore it for us so that we could walk through on solid ground. The door is wide open. The question is, will you walk through it? That's the question God's asking us today. Will we walk through it? You know, what is strength to do? Your strength inside of you that God has created us to have so nicely, it's created by God. You know, man has taken far too much liberty at the things that belong to the Father. And all of us have allowed man's definition of everything that belongs to the Father to become what we believe. And we've found ourselves getting lazy. I know I had. And God started telling me, why are you not checking behind to see if that's really my word? That doesn't mean that you resist the vessel that God's taking it through. That means that you want to know that you know that you know that it's being spoken by the Holy Spirit and by God. You have an automatic knower in your mind. You know, have you ever walked in a building where it may have a little bit going on that's not quite God? And all of a sudden that knower inside you becomes very alert. Very alert. Where you don't have to wonder, oh, I wonder if this God or not. You know not to do that, not to partake of that thing. Because that thing is not what God is. Well, that's what God is doing in this day. He is stirring us up afresh and anew. And he is making our knowers no more than what we ever have before. Now, there's many things that we have walked through as Christians. That's for the examples up here. Many things. And obviously, it strengthened you because you're here. You're here. Because if it didn't, you wouldn't be here. You'd be being tossed to and fro by wind of doctrine. But there is something within inside of us that says, no, I choose to remain. I choose to let God plant something afresh and anew in me. Where are you planted? It's time to come out of yesterday and start living for today. I was asked, and to start this off, I was asked when I was at home, and everything I was going to share from last time, he took this morning. You know how he does that. And so I'm starting with something brand new, even to me. So, Christmas, I got a call on my phone from some ladies in my town that I really don't, you know, I don't really associate, not in a bad way, don't associate with them. We just doesn't fall in the same circles. And they called me in on the phone and they said to me, Could we meet with you on Thursday? We need to talk to you about something. And I was like, okay. And my granddaughter, the reason why I know that, even know of the lady, my granddaughter, her daughter and my granddaughter are best friends. And I said, sure. So we set up a meeting and I went in town and I met with them, and they have a business called the Smiling Moose. So I went to the Smiling Moose and these ladies were there. And when I walked in, they said, first of all, this other lady that I didn't know at all walked up to me and she looked at me and she said, I need to tell you that I am honored to shake your hand. And I automatically, I mean, I was like, okay. And I'm trying to think, what did I do? I mean, I must have did something that I don't know I did, but, you know, whatever. I was like, oh, thank you. I hope it was something really good. You know, and I'm shaking her hand and she says, no, you don't understand. She said, I'm honoring you and your husband. His name is Lewis, right? And I said, yes. She said, I work with your three sons. She said, and you know, the things that your sons have in them, they didn't just get since they've been grown. You can tell it's ingrained within them. She said, the respect and the honor they give to every adult out on their jobs just blows me away. She says, you are one of the ones in the scripture that the Bible says that her kids are going to rise up and call her a virtuous woman. She said, and you know what? We don't do this enough to each other. We don't come to each other and tell each other how much we honor and respect them for whatever reasons. You know, the world tells each other these things, but we as Christians, we need to start doing that a little more. She said, because we don't. And she said, I don't know why we got that part stolen from us, but I wanted to tell you, good job, Mom. Good job. You've raised three amazing sons. And, of course, by that time, you know I'm in a bucket of tears. And she's talking to me, and she said, now, but that's not the reason we called you. I was like, okay, is there's more? She's like, yeah. She said, we as a group was praying, and we realized that we wanted to put a Christmas box together. And as we was putting it together, we all got an assignment to pray and see who we should give this box to. and your name came up several times as the person to give the box to so you could figure out who in Delta needed the box. She said, we trust the God in you enough. I don't go to church with none of these ladies. She said, but we trust the God in you enough that we feel that you will pray and you will ask God, where should you leave the box? It was a really big box. Had all kinds of stuff for Christmas, food and toys and everything. And I was like, I am just honored. I'm floored. And they was like, would you accept the assignment? And I said, I would be more than honored to do this. And they loaded it in my car. And I had prayed about it. And I was thinking of different people. And we actually found someone that really needed it. And when we gave it to them, they have like 6 or 7 kids. And they just wept. They just wept, you know, at the person that we gave it to. And so we took the box to her. Well, that was just the beginning. See, Lewis and I moved to Delta Junction because God told us to. He did not tell us to move to Delta Christian Center. He told us to move to Delta Junction. So we went to Palmer. And we lived on Lazy Mountain in Palmer, not Delta Junction. So God set a fire in the place we lived at and it burnt down. So then we started moving up to a farm that we lived on in Delta, and we lived on this farm, and God says, it's not where I told you to be. I told you you need to be in Delta Junction. Well, this is in Delta Junction. And so we started going to Delta Christian Center. First we moved off the farm. When we got ready to move off the farm, we had lived on there for over 10 years. And we loved it. It had been a stepping stone that nothing else could have been for us. It taught us how to live corporate. It taught us how to appreciate the life in other people. And it taught us that your brother is your brother's keeper. Because we lived in very close vicinity of each other where we had to get along because there was nowhere to run. Couldn't go run home and say, I'm not going to talk to you, or you didn't eat the next day because you had 3 meals together, you went to church together, you went to school together, you lived together. We lived in this part of duplex, and I lived in that part of the duplex. Couldn't get away from them. So you had to be there. And so we went there, and they saw all your weakness. They say all your insufficiencies. Everything that you try to hide could not be hidden because God didn't allow it. And now, when I think back of it, I know why. Because all the things, if I had hit them, there would have been more obstacles I would have had to come over when God took me to the next level. But because he let it stick all out and you didn't like it, so you iron sharpened iron, and I had to get rid of it. It came up, and it had to go. And so we lived that way for a long time. Well, now we go to Delta Christian Center. I love my church. I love the people in my church. But all of a sudden, God says, it's not Delta Junction. It's Delta Christian Center in Delta Junction. And so I said, what are you saying, God? He didn't tell me to leave my church. That's not what I'm going to say. But he said, where is, like Nancy was saying, how many people have you brought to the Lord? How many people have you spoke to? There is a lot of people in Delta that God has had us reach out to. We never had a television for 10 years. So the first time we bought a television, we went to a video shop with people, and I don't know if most people in our church even know that. It was Johnny's mother. And in the town, she was known as a witch, and they called her all kinds of stuff. And she drank and whatever. And so we went to her video store. She used to have a video store where it is now down there is the Smiling Moose. But at one time, that used to be a video store, the only one we had in town. And so we went there to buy a television. And when we went to buy a television, we got to meet this lady. Then we got to meet her mom, and we went to the witch's house, you know. Everybody called it. Didn't feel nothing like that. She ended up being, she's a fantastic, the grandmother was a fantastic accountant, People send for her all over the world to do their books. But I guarantee you most people in Delta don't know that because they've labeled them what they are. So they haven't went to them to see who they are. They just think this is what they are because that's the label. So as we went there and started going to Delta Christian Center, right before Johnny's mom died, she saved us tons of money. She just like came to us one day and said, would you mind if I looked at your books? I'm an accountant. And I really feel like you're spending way too much money on things. Would you mind if I help you be an accountant, a bookkeeper? And she literally taught me how to keep my books, taught me how to look at how much money I was spending on tires and look at I didn't know to do that. I mean, we were young and just starting out a business and stuff. And so we learned a lot from her. Before this lady died, one day we looked up. And she walked through Delta Christian Center doors. And she had not been in a church in decades. And she walked in there and she said to us, she walked in there, I looked back there and I said, Lois, look who's coming to church. And she came in there and she, when we got ready, at the end of the service, she said, I need to tell you, I'm only here because of you. Because of you too. Because it's the first time I've ever seen God in a person. Not on a person, but in a person. And they never tried to choke me with it. And so Lewis and I looked at her and we was like, she said, yeah. She said, I enjoyed the service. She said, and I wanted to tell you thank you for letting me into your lives. Thank you for letting me be a part of who you are. Thank you for letting me partake of some of your strength. And even when you were weak, you didn't hide anything from me. And this is, we knew Johnny. Johnny goes to our church now. But he was not a Christian. None of her kids went to church. And so our son, Benjamin, started to hang out with Johnny's son. And he freaked Benjamin out. Benjamin would be in school and he would go to his locker and there was Johnny's son standing by his locker. He's like, what do you want? You know, he's a teenager. He's like, why are you at my locker? He goes, I don't know. I just like hanging around you. He come home. Mom, I think something's wrong with that boy. He's like all up in my stuff. Every time I look around, he's sitting at my, he waits for me in my locker. I can't get away from him. Well, what Ben didn't know then is they were being drawn to something in Ben that Ben didn't even know he had. But they was being drawn to it. Why? Because everything that Ben knew reeked of Christ. And so he started hanging around with these kids, and our house became like the Delta Hotel. I mean, I could not come out my bedroom with just my gown on because I never knew who was going to be downstairs sleeping. And I had all boys, so they would be all males. And they would knock on the door and say, hey, Miss Glass, Mama, don't come out without your clothes. It's Chris. I'm here. They didn't even wait for me to say, come in. They just would open the door. Hey, Mama, you know. And so I would go downstairs, and I would just start counting heads, lifting up blankets, seeing who's there. And then I'd go upstairs and get on the phone and said, hey, so-and-so's over here. So-and-so's over here. So-and-so's over here. So that they wouldn't worry, because if they were like me, they would worry, you know, if their kid didn't show up that next morning. So I said all that to say, all of a sudden, this is what God is calling, bringing back to my memory this morning. Of all things, I said, Lord, what does that have to do with everything that you do through Christ brings you strength? He said, because now the strength is beginning to pay off. Now the strength is beginning to pay off. So all the stuff you've been going through, now it's starting to pay off. And so all of a sudden, I get a call. And this is an honor to me. I get a call. We used to have a business meeting that we used to have in town. And lately, we don't have that anymore. But we've all become very close. All the pastors have become very close because of it. We have over 23 churches in Delta. And Delta is not big. We have just about every religion you can think you want in Delta. And then some. And we have all these Russians and Ukrainians that have their stuff. And then some. Okay? So I get this call on the phone from one of the ladies that used to go to our church that now goes to a different church. Jeanette. She got a prophecy said over her a long time ago down in Solid Rock. Ladies know who what Solid Rock was. It was a conference we used to go to down where Nancy lived at. Before Point of Hope was as it is now, Nancy used to have a conference on Solid Rock. And so we went down, she went there, and Henry, I don't know if she even remembered, prophesied over her. And he said, God is going to put something in your feet. And everywhere your feet go, he's going to bless that place. Now, I know she probably don't remember that because in her mind, she probably thought, my feet's going to be Delta Christian Center forever. And her husband says, you know, I was raised Assembly of God. I really want to go back to Assembly of God. And it took her a lot to get pulled away from the place that she felt she was planted because she loved her husband. And she'd rather see him in God's way than out of God's way. She came to us and she said, would this change anything between us? If God moved me, I said, no, you're just going down the hall to another part of God's church. Doesn't change anything. Well, since she's been there, it's just blossoming. God said it would happen. Any place she put her feet. I get a call, and her pastor allowed her to ask me, another pastor of another church, to come in and bless his church. That is an honor. Anybody that's pastors here know that is an honor. You just don't have other pastors coming in blessing your church. And so we went through the church, and as I walked through it, all of a sudden I remember prophecies from times past that I had been to this church that had been put over this church that their pastor knew nothing about. And I was like, God, why am I blessing this man's church? He said, because he needs to know the history of his church that I have enlarged in you from the times when I sent you here and the history was being told. How do you remember all that stuff? You know it has to be God. It's not your church. You don't sit there and go, well, I'm going to remember everything about the Assembly of God. No, you're not. Right. Unless God brings it back up. And all of a sudden, God started bringing it back up where a dark cloud had been over this church. And Nancy came to this church. Fran Holgram, which you probably don't know, used to be with us too. And she used to go to this church, and she asked Nancy to come down and pray through the church. And so she had prayed through the church years ago, and one of the words she had was, and she probably don't even remember this, one of the words she had is, God is going to bring fresh anointing and new life to this church. And it's going to expel all the dark cloud that's over this church. Well, the pastor of this church is the same age as Benjamin. Went to school the same time Benjamin did. New to Delta. His wife and him just had a set of twins. And he has how many children? Huh? Five altogether. Five children. So Jeanette and I start walking through the church. I step foot in the church. And God gave me a song to sing over the church. We get to the pulpit. And I touch the pulpit. And then God says, now this is what you're going to tell the pastor. I'm like, God, he's the pastor of the church. I don't know if he can hear that from me. I don't even know if they believe the way we believe, you know, far as visions and all that stuff. And so I wasn't going to say anything, and then I told Jeanette. She didn't say nothing. She didn't pressure me. She's like, oh, wow. And I went to drive out the driveway, and it was like he put his foot on my brake. I could not get my foot off the brake to get out the driveway. So I turned around. I went to Jeanette. I said, could you call your pastor and ask him if I could talk to him? I am not kidding. My legs were literally shaking because I did not want to do anything that would offend. And so he got there, and I said, when I start praying for your church, and I start telling him some history about his church, and he's like, really? He said, I did not know that. And then I said, I heard a word. I don't know Do you believe in visions? Do you receive visions and word of prophecy over areas? I said, I'm being very careful. I do not want to offend you. And if you don't want to hear it, that's fine with me, but I had to ask. And he said, Evelyn, he said, yes, I do. And so I said, okay, this is what I heard. And all of a sudden, it was like the driveway became charged with the Holy Spirit. And I started to talk to him and started to tell him. I said, you know how God moves in parables? This is what the Lord said to tell you. He said, you didn't know you were having twins until later on. But the reason why I gave you twins is because I'm bringing a double anointing upon your church. He said, and those twins are there for you. So when you get weak, when you don't have the strength, because so much opposition is coming against you for whatever reason, you are to look at those twins and remember my promise to you for this church. Don't forget, every time you look at your twins, that's God saying a double anointing on your church. You have a visible picture of what God is doing, because God is here to build you up in your strength. And he sat there and tears got in his eyes, and he said, Evelyn, I received that from you. He said, you are right on every account. I received that from you. And I said, well, I said, that's all I need to tell you. And I was like, hurry up, get in my car and drive away, you know. And I'm like, okay, see you later. And I got my car and I drove up the driver and I was like, God, that was a little scary. I mean, you know, what are you doing? 2 days later, I get another call from another pastor in the town. He said, you know what, Evelyn? He said, we didn't have National Day of Prayer last year because you didn't help lead it out. I said, but our church ain't over that. We just was helping. He said, but you've helped ever since it first started. Matter of fact, Joe McBride, which went to our church, was one of the ones that was instrumenting in getting it started. He said, and I started saying, we missed out on a blessing. All over the world, it was having National Day of Prayer, and Delta Junction didn't have it. He said, we may have prayed in our own churches, but we didn't come together as a community. I want to do that. So what I'm calling you for, I have my secretary look up your number, and I'm asking you, if I go on the internet and order everything, would you come by to make sure I got everything right? I was like, sure, I can do that. And I'm like, they really don't even believe in women pastors. I can't believe he called and asked me that. But anyway, I was like, I would be honored. He said, well, not only that, which topic would you like to minister on for the National Day of Prayer? You know, they have several different things that you minister on, government and church and different things. And he's like, whichever one you want. If somebody's there, I'll move them. Just tell me where you want to minister. So National Day of Prayer is happening this year. And Delta Christian Center backed out of it. We didn't, like, dump it, but we were never really over it. We just loved doing it, so we did it. But just so happened last year around that time, all of us was gone to conference. That's why we didn't participate in it. And so there we are. Then we get another call from the fair. We had plowed some ground over. We had cleaned it up. We had did a lot of labor. We talked to a lot of people. We spent thousands of dollars. And we had people donate thousands of dollars worth of, what's the name of that grass? Grass seed is some kind of special grass seed that come back and is really good. That's all I know. And they took it from us. They decided it was the prettiest place in the fairgrounds, and they wanted to use it for themselves. So they took it from us, but they wanted us to give them our tent and our time, but they didn't want us to do anything. We was like, no, we can't do that. We will help at the fair, which we did, right, guys? We helped at the fair. We worked at the gates, and we still did all that stuff, and we had no hard feelings. Say, well, you know, God's done with us doing this, so we're good with that. They called us. They said, last year, the fair missed the presence. Every year since we've had the fair, you guys have had church on Sunday at the fair. He said, last year, the vendors came and asked us, where is the church that has church on Sunday? Something's missing from your fairgrounds. And they said, we need to come again. And we need to ask your forgiveness. And ask you if you would come back and take your land back. You could have your land back. Matter of fact, we put a fence around it so it wouldn't get messed up. Because it was so nice. We'll take the fence down if you want us to. But you guys, will you please go and talk? And half of these people in this fair council are not Christian. They said, you know, do what churches do. I don't know what y'all do. Do y'all talk to each other? And, you know, y'all have to pray, do that prayer thing over. Whatever y'all have to do, can you go do that? And then let us know. And I was like, yeah, they said, but we want to let you know, please forgive us. Please forgive us and come back. That Christ does will strengthen you. It will strengthen you. God is on the move. This is the year, like Nancy's been preaching, of God's plenty for his people. God is enriching the people to get it. Now, the thing is, we got to stop living in the past thinking we're the tail. And we got to start being the head. And that is, always took a back seat to certain things because, you know, it's the Christian thing to do. No, it's not. God never told us that. Man told us that. God told us we're the head and not the tail. That's what God told us. Our scripture text for this word is in Philippians chapter 4. It says, steadfastness and exhortations, address being unity, joyful in prayer, broken relationships, restored focus, and rejoice, not once, but constantly, encouraging your gentleness to be known to all, being excited in nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, and thankfulness, let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known to God. Are we doing that as a people? Are we doing that? See, everything that you've went through was for this time. For this moment that you're walking in right now. Everything you went through. I have people that I call, you know, I call Debbie and different ones. When I'm going through a crisis, I used to be a person, ask my husband, very, 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 you know, I can do it person. And now God's saying, I can do it person. And I bring people on board to help me. I have a women's group called Heart to Heart, and those women are actually part of my heart. I love the God in them. I am now on a board with, I think it's called Josie's Hats of Wisdom, which is a counseling. I'm on a board there. I mean, when they called and asked me about being on the board, I'm like, I don't think I've ever been on the board unless it was at church. But I'm on a board there. Why? Because God is trying to get us out of our comfort zone and into the zone that he is. We've got something to give. And it's time for us to uncap it. It's time for us to uncap it. All the heartache, all the pain, all the suffering that we've went through was never for us. It was always to create a person in us that God could use for his creation. Now here we are again. And we're at another conference. And the word is still coming forth. But are we listening? Are we listening? Because change should come every time you hear God speak. There should be a change happening. Some nugget should drop in your spirit and say, God, I want that nugget. Do that in me. Change me in that place. Your change is not going to be my change. Your issues is not going to be my issues. But your power and my power together, we could take the universe. So just imagine if each one of us started moving in their scope of influence. Oh my God, we would come together and these roofs would literally blow off. Because he would not be able to obtain the power and the anointing that God has placed in all of his people. You know, they talked about a church without walls for a long time. I think it's happening. Look at all these pastors that's represented here. Look at all these churches that's represented here. You know, there is not one church I go into Delta that I have learned to keep my mouth shut. I do honor them. I respect them. I sit on my hands, and I'll ask permission. If I need to say something, I go to whoever's leading it. But I go, because why? I am in a place now, I don't really care if you don't like me. If God told me to go to you. Because whatever you don't like about me, God's going to move that thing over here, and then he's going to let him come through. And that's what you're going to partake of. You don't need to partake of Evelyn. Evelyn's fuss stinks. You need to partake of the God in Evelyn. I need to partake of the God in you. Because if you can't give me something better than myself, why do I want you? I'm looking for something bigger than me. And you should be too. Something bigger than who you are. Because it keeps you reaching. If you just settle for status quo, that's where you'll be. That's where you would be. When we was down in, was that Georgia that had the big temple, the big Coliseum church with the, hey, Lisa, was that Georgia the one that had them big old bugs that you step on and felt like you were stepping on crunch? And it was like a big cathedral church, and that young boy did the sound system. Was that Georgia? South Carolina. We went to the church down there. In South Carolina. Phenomenal, phenomenal place. God purged us there. We went through a purging. Didn't we go through a purging there? You know why? God wanted to see. Every once in a while, I think he does that on purpose to shake us up. To make sure we know we're not in control. He is. To make sure we know if he sends us there, he's going to perfect it. If he send us there, whatever he send us there is going to work. And we went there, and by the end, they loved us to death. But did we meet with some opposition? Of course we did. Because we weren't just dealing with the people there. We were dealing with all the spirits that hang around there too. That said, okay, point to hope is coming, let's get them. You don't think that happens? The instant you said yes to Nancy, your scope of influence start changing. And I'm not talking about just for this conference. I mean, the instant you stepped out of your comfort zone, the instant God asked you to do something different, you opened the door for him trying to change your mind. Not God, that other guy, that think he got something, but you know what? He's a bear with no teeth. See, a bear, we relate to a bear. Y'all probably relate to dogs or whatever, but. Bears more fierce up here, so he's like a bear with no teeth. He comes at you and he don't have any claws, he don't have any teeth, but he looks bad, like he can take you out. But then if you look close, you go, oh my God, you don't even have any teeth or claws. I can take you out. You're not gonna take me out. That's where we are right now. And Satan doesn't like it, not one bit. He doesn't like who we are. He doesn't like what we're doing, but he can't stop us. And to know that God is getting greater, because he's trying to get greater too. But you know what? He can't take us out. Anything that will not kill you will make you stronger. That's what they say to you, right? Well, God says, I die daily. God's trying to kill my flesh and yours. Why? Why is he trying to do that? You hear people saying that all the time. But really, why is God doing that? Huh? We can be out of ourselves? It's a greater word. You know why? So when the devil comes to us, he can find nothing to attach to. If we don't allow God to purge us and prune us and cut back all the things that is not him, Satan is going to come and he is rightfully going to be able to sift off of your territory. Rightfully. Because you didn't let God prune you. Because we didn't let God prune us. So when he says, I'm going to kill your flesh, what he's saying is, I'm getting ready to give you something better than what you got. I'm getting ready to give you back what I meant for you to be in the beginning. That's what I'm going to give you back. And if all of us are not encouraging the people that we're around, something's wrong. You can't be fearful that you're going to lose anything. Oh my gosh. What profits the world? What profits a man if he gains the whole world? What's the rest of it? But loses his soul. All the world, all these rich men that's out there killing themselves, hanging themselves, poisoning themselves, shooting up in the arm. Why? Because they can't find, they know they got a void there. I remember my husband, when he first came to the Lord, somebody asked him, well, what made you go to the Lord? He said, I had tried drugs. I had tried drinking. What was it? A shot of something or another. See, he was the heathen. I was a Christian. So what was the shot that you had every day? A 45 and a what?
Well, my day used to start out with a shot of, with a hit of speed and smoking joint. Like most people get a cup of coffee. And I was not going nowhere. I seen death coming. God showed me the light. And I cut it off.
Yeah. Speeding up and slowing down. And that's what the world is doing right now. And you know what? Some of us sitting in church are doing the same thing. We come to church on Sunday and we get high. And the rest of the week, we just like try to live on that. And we don't notice that maybe in the middle of the week, you might have a service. Oh, I don't feel like going there. I'll just go to church on Sunday and hear what the pastor said, and it'll carry me through the whole week. Sometimes you need that pickup. You need that prayer meeting. You need that worship. Sometimes you need that. The Bible says, do not forsake the fellowship of the saints. Why does God put that stuff in there if it's not something we need? I mean, he's not crazy. He wouldn't put it in there if it wasn't something we need. I have people tell me, all I need is a television. Because you can get all the God you want off the television. But the television don't talk back. That's why they just want the television. The television doesn't try to try their soul. They can listen to it, and when they didn't want it, they can go beep, 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 beep. See, I can't do that with you because you're going to keep talking. And you're going to tell me when I'm wrong. And you're going to tell me when I need to change. God told me down in North Carolina, I was sitting in a hot tub. It was in my room. You know, what can I say? It was like a jacuzzi thing in my bedroom. And I was sitting in there one morning getting ready before we went to meeting. And I would say, Lord, and I was talking about some issue that had happened with me and another young lady that was at conference. And I was just blessing her and praying for her. And I say, God, why did these things happen? He said, Evelyn, don't you know you're in good company? So I'm going to tell you, don't you know when things happen to you, you're in good company? Why are you in good company? Because they happened to your brother. Jesus, he was slapped, spit on, beaten, put on the cross, crucified. All this stuff happened to him. Now, if somebody even told us they was going to nail our hands to a cross, some of us would tuck tail and run. I can't tell you that I would sit up there and go ahead, nail me. I love Jesus. I mean, something inside you want to say you would, but when you think of the agony that he really went through. Some of the stuff we go through is nothing in comparison. But he did it because he loved us. Now remember, you see, you're in good company, and everything that the devil throws at you, if you've been eating the right foods, now you got to been eating at the right table. So I'm going to tell you again, what you are, what you eat. If you don't have the strength, what are you eating? If you're not eating God, then the only thing you're going to be able to regurgitate up is whatever you've been eating. So if you've been eating all this Hawaii 5-0 and whatever, and all this other stuff, the TV or whatever's out there, aerobics, I'm so busy, I'm trying to get my body together, and you've been doing, I mean, all this is good stuff, but is it godly stuff? Are you still adding in to God, or is it taking God's time? You need to think about that, because it's not, it says, it's the small things that spoil the vine, not the big things. See, we don't want to put that in pictures. We don't want to say, well, exercise, that's something I'm doing for the body, okay? So you got up Monday morning, you went to exercise, you came back home, you took a shower, oh, then maybe your kids came home, and then you cooked supper, and then maybe your husband came home, you spent time with your husband, then you got to bed. Where was God? Where was your God time? Did you even consider him? Did you get up that morning and say, Father, what are we going to do today? How can I start my day off with you? Because he likes going with us. He likes doing it with us. He likes partying with us. And he's a good partier. I guarantee it. I've had the best parties in my life with the Father. He said, it's the small things that spoil the vine. But he is saying, everything through Christ gives you strength. You're feeling weak today? How much of Christ have you been through? Grab a little hold of Christ. Like I was saying last night, move a little closer to where that fire is burning. Because God is trying to make women and men of God. And there's a whole bunch of them. You go overseas, oh my God, they're so hungry for the word that I've been praying, God, don't let us be so fat we don't be hungry. I am so hungry for the word of God now. I can hear it everywhere. Do you know that in the Bible, it's in Revelations, I believe, it states that God says that he is going, this is such a cool thing. You may not think about it, but our pastor was ministering, and she all of a sudden read this scripture, and I couldn't hardly sit on the seat. Do you know what happened in the garden? When we sinned, God put us out the garden, and then the scripture says he put flaming swords over the garden, right? So that we wouldn't partake of the tree of life because of being eternal damnation. Am I right? Am I in the book right? Okay. And so in Revelations it said that he that is obedient, I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember exactly where it's at, so any of you think of it, let me know. But the one that's in obedience to God, he said, I will allow them to eat off the tree of life. That is phenomenal. Guys, do you see that the veil has been rent? Remember, he said they can't go back in the garden because if they eat off the tree of life, they're surely to die. Now he's saying, I will allow you, if you're in Christ, to go back and eat off the tree of life. I said, God, what does the tree of life mean? He said, okay. Say, for instance, you had something going wrong with you. And all of a sudden, God says, I want you to eat off the tree of life in that place. From now on, when that thing comes back to you, guess what? It can't touch you. Because in that place, there is life everlasting. It can't be touched anymore. See, the tree of life is going to start buzzing in us like buds just popping off. And the devil can't get in there and touch us anymore in those places. We're taking it back inch by inch by inch by inch. But we got to take it back. That is the most exciting news I ever heard when I said that. I about couldn't sit on my seat. I said, he's saying we can go back and we can take off the tree of life. See, the tree of good and evil, we already took off of that. That's how we got in all this trouble. Thank you. Revelation, could you read it? How about that? In the midst of the paradise of God. Not over here in La La Land. Not back there in yesterday land. In the midst of the paradise of God. Do you know what that's saying to us? They're saying the veil is rent. I'm going to allow you to come in and eat off the tree of life. Why? Because I trust you. Because I've pruned you. Because I've tried you. Because you're ready for a change. You're ready not to go back into that state that you was before. This is your time. This is our time. Like never before. And oh my God. That is just, I mean, that just did something to me. I can't even explain what it did to me. All week long, I called my husband. He was in the truck. Do you know God said we could eat off the tree of life? I was just so excited about that. And then when he started explaining to me, How are we going to do it? I was like, oh my God. That mean in that place, nobody can take that place from me again? Nope. Not anymore. And to God is the God of love. And to the love of God. And when you get up, it says the valleys draw you deeper. So when you're going through a valley, you know what a valley is? It's not sin, folks. Don't let the devil trick you. When you're going through a valley, a teaching place. I prefer to look at it as a teaching place. When you're going through the valleys, all it can do is draw you deeper. When I hurt my hip up there, all it did is make me go home and pray. And when I pray, who I'm talking to? The Father. So today, hurt my hip last night. Ooh, I got energy for worship tonight. Because the valleys draw you deeper, but it's the mountains that make you shine. But you got to go through the valley to get to the mountain. You don't go through the valley, you can't get to the mountain. Hey, I don't know about you, but sometimes you treasure the valley because in there you possess your soul. You can make your soul submissive unto you. And then all of a sudden, you're on top of the mountain and people coming to you, asking you questions and asking you things. But it's the mountains that make you shine. I love the Father. I love everything there is about him. I saw, I told you about Lewis and I called to be in Delta. People are starting to honor people all over the world. I'm so excited about this conference. I'm telling you, I just have to say that. I came in here and I couldn't believe all of you guys were here. I was just so excited. I didn't know what to do with myself. I mean, this whole conference is of people that's not from here. And I'm like, the people here need to take note. Because this is starting to be like when I go overseas and you go over there and all these people flock in. Oh my God, tell me God is not getting ready to do something. We've been over in China and Russia and, not Russia, India and all these different places that we've been going to. And I tell you what, if God's moving you to another place, know this. It's because he's getting ready to give you new ground. That's why he's moving you. Where you are, you have did all you need to do there. Now it's time for you to break new ground. That's why he's moving you from one place to the other. If God's giving you new territory, you're getting ready to break new ground. You're going it with an excitement. God, what ground I'm going to break tonight? What area you going to give me tonight? Yes, of course you weep for the place that you're leaving. Lewis and I looked out the window when we left the fire. We lived there for 10 years. There was nothing about that I can tell you that I hated. Did I go through trials? Yes. Did we go through tests? Yes. Lived on that farm? Yes, we did. But I tell you what, when we looked out the window, we cried until we had no more tears left. And then all of a sudden, Lewis had a dream. And in his dream, he doesn't dream. That was the first scary thing. And he had this dream, and he woke up and he said, "Babe, I had this dream. And I was laying on the bed. And two snakes walked in my room. One was a big, cobra. And one was a smaller cobra. And the smaller one was saying, 'Can I bite his feet? Can I bite his feet? Just let me bite his feet.' And he was laying there perfectly relaxed. And the big one said, 'You don't have to bite him. Because if he stay in this place that God hasn't told him to stay, we're going to consume him.'" You better know you're where God wants you to be. Because you can be in the most greatest place in the world. But if God has told you to get up and pack up and move, you're in the wrong place. And you're vulnerable. And he knows it. So we got packed. And we got moved. And God gave us an apartment. We didn't even have to pay rent. And the lady over the apartment fell in love with us and asked us if we would manage her apartment. Never did it before in my life. We managed her apartment. And the day she died, she told her son she had Alzheimer's. So she couldn't remember none of them. She says, she looked around the room and she says, "I don't know y'all, but where's my daughter Evelyn?" And her son told me that. He started crying. He goes, "What did you do to my mom?" He said, "On her deathbed, only one she wanted was you." And I'm not foolish enough to think it was Evelyn the person. It was the life that Evelyn has within her that beams out. I'm telling you, God is doing it. And we are part of all of it. And he is moving and shaking us. He's moving and shaking us. We are starting to branch off, doing more stuff in the community than we ever have before. And I'm loving it. I don't know about you, but I'm loving every bit of it. You know why? Because Evelyn's not doing it. And it feels so good for someone to trust you with their life. See, because the pastor's church is his life. And when they trust in you with their life, you know what's happening? God said that he was removing the walls. And we are going to be a church without walls. That means we're going to be connected in the way that's going to make the world astound. Because they're not going to be able to know what to do with us. They were going to say, "Well, aren't you Baptist?" Yeah. "Well, aren't you Pentecost?" Yeah. "Well, aren't you..." There's so many Baptists, Southern Baptist, something that's not, you know, all those different things. And then, you know, this pastor they call me, he's Luther and Presbyterian. You know why? Why they're calling? Everybody's connecting? Because God's tearing down the denominational walls that man built. God didn't build them. Man built them. And we're finding out we have a common denominator. It's called the Father. And I can't tell you, my church don't have it all, and neither does yours. But together, we have a beautiful picture. And all the puzzle pieces are now starting to come together. That's what I'm excited about. Everything through Christ gives strength. We're coming together as a people like never before. We was an army of ordinary people. And now we are becoming kings and priests. And respecting each other where they are. And I love it. Don't you love it? And, you know, everybody, like I said, if you're moving, if God is shaking you, if God is restructuring you, if God is putting you in different areas, take the time to say, "Lord, what is your will in this area? What do you want me to do? What would you have me to do?" Kim told me, like 5 or 6 conferences back, I was up front singing one day, and I started singing this slow song. And I used to sing a lot of fast songs all the time. And she walked over to me and she said, "Evelyn," she's like, I'm not saying anything about your singing, but I'm just saying, I don't know why I'm saying, you probably don't even remember this. You said, But there's something in that song that you've slowed down. That think about adding more slow songs, more worshiper songs to your list. And she didn't say it harmfully or nothing like that. And I could tell she was like trying to do her words very gently. Well, she is a teacher, music teacher. You know, God didn't make her a music teacher just because she's Kim. He made her a music teacher because he knew he could use what's in her. Because she has a heart for music. And she has an ear to hear. I went home and thought about it. I always think about stuff when people tell me. I said, God, what is that about? And he said, Evelyn, you've always loved worship. Now, you can praise any day of the week. Because I love praise. But worship is what draws you to the Father's heart. So in essence, what she was saying, Evelyn, God wants to draw you more to his heart. And that's the way I took it. God wants to draw you more to his heart. And I tell you what, I sang this song, Take Me to the King. I don't know if you know that song. And I sang it Easter. And I, for the first time, I sang that song. And I didn't think, oh, that's for Easter? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. If you read the word, if you don't know that song, Google it on your phone and read the paragraphs in it. Because the first line says, I'm tired. And it's the story of what every Christian be saying about how they're tired of the church and they're tired of this. It's not the church, the people. It's the structure that you have to come up under, that we've been coming up under. God's changing the structure. And he's bringing in Christ's structure, not man's structure. It's a difference. Christ's structure breeds you to want to change. Man's structure sometimes pins you down and say you only can do this. So our church is going through a major change. We went through a pastor leaving, his wife, and God fixed us there. And we went through this and we went through that. And now we're going through another change. But you know what the change we're going through now? God's taking what we have and he's saying, turn around and look what you have in your church. This is what I'm going to perfect. We have some rocks up in the front of our church, and over the top of them we says, if you don't praise him, the rocks will. We're starting to know that's true. We're coming back. We're coming back to what God has promised us to come back to. No more sloppy this and sloppy that. No more my way or the highway. Now it's, God, what is your way? Christ, I want to be in you. I want to be where you are. I want everything through Christ to give me strength. And he will. Because this is our time, guys. This is our time. I don't know if I told you. I did tell you about that scripture. This is our time. And there is no time like this time that we have. We have where is it? We have asked God for many things over the years. I have. I don't know about you, but I have. And God has answered me in prayer. But everything is not where I want it to be. I still know that I want my back to be completely healed. I want that for myself. But what I tell him every time, I'm going to conference today, Lord, like he don't know, but this is what I tell him. Lord, I'm leaving for conference now, and if you want me to stand up there and worship, you know you got to do your thing back there so that I can stand up and do what I need to do. And doesn't it just get you that when you're under the anointing, you don't feel no pain? And as soon as you come down and sit down, it's right back there. I keep saying, God, what is the key? I would do anything for that key. What is that? Yeah, I'm like, really? I was like, can I not stay in that anointing where I don't have to deal with that anymore? I'm going to find it. I'm going to find that key, I'm telling you. Because I know when I'm on that stage, believe it or not, I feel no pain. I feel no pain at all. I tell my husband that all the time. I said, but as soon as I get down there and sit down, I'm like, oh, shoot. I remember that. Yeah, it's right there. What was I thinking about? Why was I jumping all over that stage like a crazy person? You know? All of a sudden, the body started reminding me, oh, yeah, that's right. You did it. And I was like, but it was so much fun and it felt so good. And you know what? The next night, I'll be right back up there doing it again. Why? Because I happen to love the Father. How about you? I know why he won't let me find it. He told me not to go there. Okay, fine. It's in my book. He won't even let me find it. But I was trying to look for it. Where is that? It was one phrase I did. Just let me sing that one phrase. He goes, nope. I'm just looking like so hard. You see me looking hard. It's not. I know. Watch. I sit down and I'll turn right to it. I know. But I tell you what. I am this word that, like, you know, you hear everybody saying, well, you know, until Nancy gave me this word, blah, blah, blah. I was going back. I don't know about you all that ever do workshops. Take the time and go back and start. I have like a book of all my workshops. And I literally can write a book. Because I can see the progress that happened in that workshop. How it made me stronger each time I gave it. God added something else to it. So now is the time for us to come to a place like never before, where we know that everything through Christ gives you what? Gives you strength. Are you ready for the strength? I'm ready for the strength too. I am so ready for the strength. So we're an army of ordinary people that's getting ready to do miraculous things in God. Amen? So that's what I have for you today.